Hello, everyone, and welcome to the commentary for Genesis Avalon Patriot, episode 23. Oh my gosh, aka part 2 of 3, aka one more left. Oh my gosh. The penultimate episode for sure. I am Catherine Pride. I am the co-creator, co-writer, and director of the show. And with me, of course, as always, is my co-stoofer, Chris Bays.
Hi. I am present.
You are present.
Physically and emotionally.
Yes.
After that last episode, that was a rough one.
That was a rough one.
We killed off characters who've been around since season one of the first series.
Yeah, my heart hurts right now. Like, I still hurt. I still hurt from it.
And the murder spree is not done.
The murders will continue until morale improves.
That's how every writer feels about their characters. You can just kill them whenever you want. They're not real.
You know, no one can tell you no. It's fine.
The only person who is hurt is you.
Yeah, but no one tells you as a writer how much that hurts. Like, no one tells you, like, by the way, that's going to be really painful when you want to do that.
Like, the whole killing Julian off was hard. And it was rough because, like, I went into it knowing. That it needed to happen. Like,
yeah.
I had more of a feeling that, like, no, Julian needs to die in this. This is the end of his story.
Yeah. And I was, like, very stubbornly, like, I want a superhero story where no one has to die. Like, that's okay. You're allowed to have that. And that is true. That is true. Yeah, you can have arcs. Like, I do not like killing characters off, but.
We were conceptualizing this in the wake of Endgame. So.
I was really bitter and angry.
It was really like,
But you know. But also, we had reached the end of that character's arc. And ultimately, the world that we conceptualized the story in and the world we're in now, four years later, we both had kind of been like, no, there needs to be more to it. Because unfortunately, that's just life.
Yeah.
I'm still very conflicted by it, clearly, because I'm talking about it right now, and I'm like, I hate that I killed him off, like, but as a, you know, as someone who loves stories that have really high stakes that we call vegetarian stakes, because, like, nobody stays dead in comics except, like, you know, and even then, like, I can't even say Uncle Ben stays dead in comics. It was just, like, really, like, I tend to be very anti-killing off characters for the sake of killing them off, so.
But I don't feel like that
was. But that wasn't what happened, no.
Like, that was the culmination of everything that character had.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Changed and stood for and then changed into.
Yeah.
That was just the most natural thing to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was going to give himself so that a superhero could get away.
Yeah. And then, unfortunately, it gets even scarier because we're not done here.
Yeah, because now we're over here in, like, the actual big villain fight.
Yes, yeah. Sorry, we've been, like, talking over, too. But, yeah, like, Tunanu just threw Carrie off a roof and stopped Ben from grabbing her, so.
For a while, that was the end of the episode.
Yeah, yeah. Originally, she was going to get thrown off of the thing.
For a while, that was the end.
That was going to be the end of 22,
and that's why we say this is, like, a three-parter, because we literally wrote them all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They were one big script. That we then split into three.
Yep.
When we were we could talk about, like, a part of the craft of making one of these.
Sure.
We roughly know how long an episode will be based off of the script length alone.
Yes.
Not just because we've been doing this for 15 years and we just know that's part of it, but also because when we are writing the script out. We will do the ridiculous thing of sitting with a timer running and read the entire episode out loud while doing all of the mouth sound effects like it is the episode itself.
Yeah.
And then look to see about how long it was. So we knew going after we wrote the back-to-back episodes, we knew going into it. Oh, this is going to be really long if we take it all the way to Carrie getting tossed.
Yeah.
The better place to end it is before that happens.
Yeah. And honestly, we were both like, also it felt like with the emotional beat of Julian's death and then John reappearing and then the villains appearing. We were like, I don't know, I feel like that's kind of a good spot to leave it.
Yeah.
And then open with this. And and it was really cool getting, like, honestly, like the from an audio perspective, doing the throwing Carrie off of the thing. It was really fun to mix, actually.
Yeah.
And like the blood curdling scream and like the moment where it like just drops off. I was like, I always love doing that as a director, and so it's just really fun to do. Yeah, Doppler. But then like it gave us all this room for this scene. Like we had a
screw this Cthulhu crap.
Thank you, Jaina, for saying what I was thinking the whole time we were working on it. But like, you know, like even from a writer perspective, director perspective, like when we write, I have a tendency, not a tendency, it's actually kind of like essential for me as a director too, if I'm going to direct my own stuff, I have to know spatially where everyone is in a scene.
Yeah.
So like there were whole chunks of us writing this with me being like, okay, I have to get these characters down to the ground.
Yeah.
Because I know that's where I want this fight scene to happen. And then these characters are still up here on the roof. Well, do I want to bring them down or do I want to leave them up there? And like, so like those are the kind of conversations that happen while we're doing these big, massive scripts. And then sometimes we'll sit there and read them out and realize like, oh, whoa, hang on a second. When was the last time we mentioned so-and-so character?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what are they still doing? Oh, shit, we should probably move that scene.
I killed the son of Balor. You'll be no different.
Yeah.
You think Obsidian had power?
This was a really fun sound effect to find, too.
Let me show you.
Because this was like we had been like teasing this the whole time, because obviously he's the Leviathan.
Yeah,
he's a giant elder god. Like he's gonna be massive. But I had so much fun doing this. Like you can hear people soaring past them and stuff.
I just imagine the scene in Transformers: The Ride.
Yes, pretty much. That's it, yeah. He's gonna kill Times Square.
He's nuts. The giant sucking
boy. Yeah. Can't protect us forever. Not on my own, but I'm not. Devastator.
Yeah,
Devastator. I finally remember the name of the damn Decepticon.
Morrigan, I summon you now.
Yeah.
I accept the duty of Sacred Mother. Maha, goddess of the battlefield.
This was fun. So, okay, so I... We wanted this to be like this is a key component of the story. So you know, we knew her as the Maiden.
Yep.
That was all of the first show. And you kind of don't need the crone aspect. That's what Asara was for her.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that she had been struggling with that transition into full adulthood, to motherhood, and in a spiritual sense. Because obviously we are aunties and we understand like when we talk about motherhood, we do not mean like flesh and blood necessarily. We mean spiritual motherhood, being a mentor. And it took Jaina all this time to realize that's what the Morrigan wanted from her. So it was really cool. I wanted to make sure that what we had her do wasn't just a punch him up, beat him up. It was a, what do you do?
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're in that position of being the mentor, sometimes your job is to shield the others.
Yep.
So that someone else can step in and do what needs to be done.
Right.
And, you know, her ego will allow her to do that.
Yep.
Plus, obviously, you know, this was, ultimately Patriot is about the Patriot. It's about revolution, men. So I didn't want to take that from him.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you understand more than anyone that seasons change?
Especially since he's got that whole, like, I can talk him down thing.
You fool.
And I love it.
I am a god of life.
Also, as per usual, if you give...
No season.
So good.
If you give Eric Feldman,
he will run...
The character.
The whole race.
He will. The whole time. There is no relay involved. Like, he put so much work into understanding this character that we didn't even do originally.
Oh, no.
Like, I mean, I knew all the stuff like I wanted to do with him, but, like, he would think about the ways he talks as Ninurta about his responsibilities and his aspects is so good.
Like, not a spoiler, because I'm not going to say it, but there's a sequence in the next episode that, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, and then yeah, I mean in general, yeah. For sure, definitely the next episode.
To that point.
Yes.
Stay awake, you bloody pain in the ass.
Aw. So
pissed I dropped my sword.
And then the payoff here for Leo and Sam's friendship.
You're not dying.
Bet.
Bet. I love that. You're not gonna die, bet.
Dane Cage, son of Dagda.
Also, again, you know, a lot of this show has been about showing the ways that one of the things that we both enjoyed talking about and doing in terms of like, and we do it with Jack and Alicia certainly, and you'll see more next episode as we head back to
a lot of it next episode.
Yeah, but the idea that, you know, you look at things from like a very patriarchal lens, and if you look at it in terms of duality, like very much like, well, things are either masculine or feminine, it does a disservice to how polytheistic religions really operated, because a lot of those gods had multiple aspects that were both traits that we would consider both divine and divine masculine and feminine now.
Yeah.
If you were to try and like set them aside. And so it was really cool getting to have Sam heal someone finally.
Yeah.
Because that's something he'd never done in Avalon. The first show, he never did that. He was always the, you know, again, Camulus was his patron because he wanted to be the angry fighting man. And now that he suddenly has people to protect, he's like, maybe I don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that in this, and I really enjoyed how much we got
to
do.
There's even more in the next episode.
For sure.
Can't talk about until we get to
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Pete is chewing every last bit of scenery I have given him and
literally,
then some.
Literally, because he's turned himself into a giant maw.
Yeah, that's just like eating everything.
Boy.
Yeah, Devour the Devourer. Yes.
Like you for breakfast.
That why you had to lie to the entire country?
Yeah, call him out on that.
So powerful? That doesn't make you powerful. That makes you a parasite.
Yeah. It's true.
You know, it's actually kind of
parasite set.
Ah, thank you for the BioShock reference. I was waiting for that.
Reference.
And yet you will not.
No, it says the parasite.
Yeah. Yes.
You know why I picked the No More Heroes Party?
This is what I liked. Is that we got a chance to kind of. So, one of the things we're not talking about any real political conflicts in this show, it's all allegorical. But I wanted to really hammer this home, that people who are bad actors utilize your emotions and your base primal fear against you.
And if there is a party that is more keyed into the emotion of a thing, the vibes or the feeling of a thing, that's very easy to manipulate.
Yeah.
It's very easy for fascists. People to manipulate that kind of
this. Yeah,
because emotions could be easily manipulated.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it is part of why the whole concept of like single issue voters was always so like maligned by like our parents and you know, but you know, and it's very easy to be like, well, I have a single issue, my humanity. Like if you can't respect that, then that's a single issue, and I'm always going to vote for that. And that makes sense, but it does mean that it is our jobs as individual citizens to keep our representatives in check. And more importantly, if someone is telling you to follow them because they know better than you, or because they're the best at it, or because they understand you like no one else, all of that is manipulating you. All of that is trying to feed your ego to make you think that you're making the best choice possible. It is okay to not know the answer. It is okay to not know who's the best option. It's okay to be disillusioned with your heroes. It's okay. It really is. Because you hold them accountable. And a lack of accountability is how you get in positions that you do not want to be in.
Yep.
And what Tunanu did, I find very striking and very, very strange, because we sort of predicted something that just happened.
Yep.
And all know I've been working on this show for 4 years with Chris, and we had come up with the concept of how he got here 6 years before that. 10 years ago, we saw how you could easily put a demagogue in power.
Doesn't matter.
And that's It's very telling. Especially when you get, oh my god, especially when you get to the end of the episode.
And it doesn't matter. Yeah.
That hadn't even happened yet when I wrote that.
You hadn't even thought about it yet.
No. Oh, I don't like this timeline. Can we go on a different one, please?
Stupid varmint in the CERN. The massive collider.
That's what it is. On your hands. And when they see, but we'll stand up too. I will say, as tough as things are, I urge everyone to listen to what Ben's saying here. Because the reality is, he is absolutely right. As long as we all individually continue to fight authoritarianism and fascism and the wanton, reckless injury of others, then we win and they lose every time. You gotta keep the faith. You gotta stay locked in. You gotta be the best of yourself when the times are hard. Because that's all we have is each other. Because every time you take out, and we knew when we wrote this that was ultimately how Ben was gonna win.
Yeah.
Ben was never gonna be, he was never gonna be so pacifistic as to not stand up for himself. And he was never gonna be so angry as to lose track of himself.
Yeah.
He had to be the middle road between Casey and John.
Yeah.
I had them. I had all of them.
And it works.
No.
Because ultimately, he doesn't have power. If he doesn't have his worshippers, he's got nothing.
Leave the hero alone.
Get the hell out of here. Who the hell do you think?
Also, I always love, I'm such a, you can tell I'm a Marvel.
You're such a sucker for the,
I'm such a Marvel.
And then New York.
Rallies around Spider-Man, yes.
Spider-Man, and if you want to fight Spider-Man,
you gotta go through us. Yeah, exactly. Look, I can't help it, okay? I was raised in a certain era, and that era was that superheroes are the common mythology of our people. And so, therefore, New York always stands up for the hero.
Man, what a wuss.
Screw him!
I also like that. They're like, you know what? Whatever. Forget the guy. Not the weirdest thing we've dealt with all day. Deal the important crap.
Avalon, hey, it's over. You can let the barrier down.
Ben, the Morrigan won't let her go.
Not exactly true, Carrie. Yeah. I know why you think that, but I also wanted that on purpose. I wanted it to kind of illustrate that, like, sometimes our instincts are, like, they might overwhelm us, but they're right.
Yeah.
Just, you know, don't lose track of them, but sometimes you just gotta ride the comet, man.
I licked a battery, but I'm okay.
Like, sometimes you just need to go to a rage room and smash shit.
Yeah!
And that's okay. That's so that you don't smash people in the face with a hammer. Like, don't do that.
Comet instead of just being roped to it, you know?
No,
I don't.
I have absolutely no frame of reference for that.
I'm so glad I got to write that line.
I saw the whole thing from the roof. That was insane.
About halfway through that fight, the Overlords vanished. I guess he didn't have the magic left in him to sustain.
I just realized just now, as we're listening to this, that I wrote a line wrong. That's fine.
Really oh, really?
But the important Sam just said Overlords. I'm like, no, those are from StarCraft. Overseers! Dang it. That went all the way to production, you guys. See, this is proof that sometimes bloopers happen.
Yeah.
Like, this is definitely, like if we had an IMDb page, that would be on the bloopers.
That would be a blooper.
The outtakes, mistakes section.
But I believe in Casey.
Oops.
And between us, President Mersey, and the rest of the Freedom Press.
That's okay, though.
I believe we've got a chance.
But the important thing is, the heroes prevailed here. The hard part starts now, but they prevailed.
Oh, my gosh. The thought of, like, okay, and then they finish it, and now they have to get back to England. Oh.
Yep. Well, I figured out how to fix that. I had an idea, and then he showed up.
I call you home, and you will not refuse.
With his awesome, badass acoustic guitar music.
Save your questions.
Full god mode.
Yep.
The Lord of On is moving again.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's important, too. Yeah, full god mode, which you guys haven't really heard him do that much. Yes. And so he pulls out all the stops for this.
I recognize you now. The Morrigan knows you.
Well, yeah.
Lennon and Maclear, the god of the sea.
Yeah.
Aye. About bloody time you started letting your church on like an equal. Now follow me. I can't keep this open for long.
No, wait, I have more to do here.
Nope.
We got this.
I'll come back if you need me. Just ask. I'm always listening.
I know. And now the rest
of
the road.
There was actually more in that scene originally. I think there's like a whole other
there
line.
Was, there was.
But it got cut and I was like, you know what? That's fine. This works better this way.
I really just tell my brother to be safe. Keep his wits about him.
I also still love that Carrie at this point absolutely could have gone back to the UK and no one would have questioned it. And she's like, nope, I'm going to stay here. I'm still staying here. And I'll come back and see my brother when he's a little less busy and, you know, and I'm not busy too. Saving the world.
I have to give him that much.
Yeah.
If you don't come, Jaina, there won't be much world left to protect.
Also, I did get a really sweet, I'm gonna out you here, Adam, for being adorable. But I did get a really sweet email from him after this, of the one thing he said he always wanted to do in being in Avalon, because he he's a listener from the very beginning, was he always wanted to be in a scene with Jaina and Sam.
Aww.
And to give him some guff.
Aww,
and we gave
fun.
Him that. So that was, I thought that was really sweet, because like, we wrote that in knowing that was always a thing we were gonna do. So,
we go clean house.
But yeah, we let him give Sam some guff. And there's an ad lib in this next bit that was just Adam kicking around, and I was like, nope, it's going in. It's so perfect.
Oh man, travel by portal is so much better than planes. Less deep vein thrombosis,
which apparently is a word that gave Paul. Such trouble. That will definitely make the blooper reel.
The regal bearing, the impressive powers, the fantastic beard, sense of humor. I'm just glad to see you recognize me when you're not just asking for my power, Sam. You're welcome.
Only about half of that was in the original line.
Yeah.
Repeat after me.
And this part.
Mananan McLean.
Oh my god, this part.
5 years you said my name in a funny way.
In a funny way. Bloody coals. Easily one of my favorite little meta things of, we didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Like, back when we did Avalon, there were no easy YouTube guides on how to pronounce these names. They did not exist yet.
YouTube barely existed.
Yeah, so we all did the best we could with what we had, and that was like a point of character note for everyone that, like, because, like, even Laura was like, can we get a pronunciation guide? I would like Jaina to sound like she's clearly been studying for 6 years. I was like, absolutely. But his little, you said my name in a funny way for 5 years. I was like, that's it. It's going in. That's so good. Like, I stopped mixing at that moment and dragged Chris out of the couch. I was like, come over here and listen to this.
I had to come listen to it.
Why are you here?
You'd have to ask my
name. Why are you here?
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's right. The last we all saw Mac, he had Maeve in a box that he was going to go back to the underworld, the other world with. And then all of a sudden, he shows up to go fetch Jaina and Sam.
And he's not talked to anybody about this.
Nope, he just went and did it.
We just imprisoned Aron's most loyal ally. He won't take that lying down.
But she is right.
All of you inside. Eat something, have a chance to be with your families. Rest while you can.
Hmm.
When he makes a move, we'll know.
I'm gonna guess he makes a move in the next episode.
Come on, Leo.
I think that might be, you might be onto something.
I think that might be the point. Well, or is it a spoiler to say that the next episode is just them all kicking around the pub?
I mean, I already gave Laura her wish to have Avalon and Exodus go on a picnic at the end of the first show. I can't do it again. It's not fun anymore. So, oh no, I guess we'll have to give them some crap to deal with.
I guess.
Yep. But, not before we resolve some other stuff.
Yeah.
I would be pleased to see you.
This scene. Again! And I wasn't expecting that to be quite so prescient. Oh my gosh. Also, that other scene is almost where the episode ended, and then we were like, nah, let's keep going. I feel like we don't have that much more left to go.
Again, this is, we had the pretty much like all three episodes yep. written. We knew what needed to go where. We knew what needed to be in one yes. of the episodes. We didn't know which quite which one.
Yeah.
Quaint island country,
says the man from the cradle of civilization.
It is a cold fact that this island and all of its spoils belong to me. I was
that's not... Hold on, that's not how it works, buddy. I know you think that's how it works, but it's not.
Death conquered me, and so I conquered death in return. And now, all of this will be mine again. Eternally.
And yeah, this was okay. So that's the other thing I was gonna say when we talk about reversals and things that we wanted to do differently. That's the other thing about this scene is that the original outline said that when the fight goes badly, Tunanu steals Ninurta's power and follows them to the UK. And we sat there thinking about it, and I went, I don't think that's what should happen here. And Chris goes, what do you mean? And I was like, I kind of feel like that's not the kind of fight we want to have. And I said, I think it should be the other way around. She goes, oh, do it. like you didn't even hesitate. You're just like, that's perfect.
So good, too. It's such like a surprise, like a shock.
And it's and especially since there's a moment in here where I even have Ninurta to say it that like you know, it was always a business arrangement.
Yeah.
And you wrote that when we wrote the convention episode. Yes. And that had kind of just sat with me for six episodes before I got to this. Yep. And I was like, no, that's what it is. Like, that's what it is. Like, ultimately, he never should have trusted Ninurta because Ninurta, much like him, was always looking for just another way to keep a leg up in the underworld and not have to end up a minor demon of hell.
Yep.
And one of the truly interesting things about Ninurta, the actual, like the wiki page for him, is that, as he started out truly as an agricultural god, and as Sumer became more and more, they started to expand and actually started to attack other neighboring countries, he took on a warlike aspect. And so I was like, honestly, though, that makes him kind of a chameleon of gods, and I think that's the more interesting thing to have here in the last fight. And
so special.
He just does such a... Again, he's just such an amazing job here. And
now my name,
Eric took these lines and did a lot with them. Like there's a lot of extra bits and bobs here and there in these lines that we didn't have originally. And again, that's one of those like it really shows how well he knows the character.
Yeah.
I have always known this would be a temporary alliance.
Yep.
A single growing season.
Yeah, that single growing season line is so good. Together,
and you have done such good work tonight. Mm-hmm. But I'm afraid the world has turned. And the fall has come.
Again! All of this is him! I didn't do this!
Begin the harvest.
I do love it when
it's
actors...
It's one of those moments that, like, if this were, like, a Writers Guild show, we would probably have to give him the writing credit.
No kidding! So awesome.
Now,
and I had fun because like now his god voice is like super god, like it's much more robust than it was earlier.
New pantheon.
There is always a need for crops to be sown in Utah. And when we end the Dagda, my subjects will need
do not come after the Dagda. Sam and him are on good terms finally.
Make no mistake. You cannot hope to betray me.
I have been a god of many things, Lord of Annan. I will be whichever you do not wish to be. There are
honestly, this scene is just so fun. I love hearing the two of them banter off of each other. If we didn't know how quickly prone to stab each other in the back they would be. You could see them, like, working together for a long time, but I don't. Not at all. I don't believe that they would.
My brothers and sisters of the AOC, to me, the science of death.
This was a fun spell, right?
That which has been conquered, and that which lies in wait for the institution.
I really do love using all of the wild dogs and wild wolves.
Yeah.
Sound effects are really a lot. They're a lot of fun because you don't normally get to use stuff like that in the kind of audio drama that I write, where it tends to be in an urban environment. So it was really cool to get to use it.
Bring my other world to this mortal plane. Avalon, you are mine.
I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to do that. The dead stuff stays in the dead place.
Oops.
And then the other way around, but that's not what happened. And then, meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Yep.
Or the estate, in this case.
That's a hell of a story, Roxy. I have to admit, I am so amazed by everything you can do with the Egyptian gods that you've started to connect to them.
Yeah, I'm pretty awesome.
I'm happy for you. You really am.
Thanks. I...
but...
I honestly don't know if
I... Yeah, and so...
Next. What do you mean?
And honestly, like... if I was going to do, like, I don't know, we talked a lot about trying to do more with this scene, but I think Chris ultimately had, like, the right idea that, you know.
Leave? No, hang on.
So ultimately, I think the we kind of decided, like, leave it where it is because, because it kind of, you know, speaks enough on its own. Like, they've always had a very, like, they don't talk a ton relationship, Roxy and her. So having it be sort of like this quick, like, oh yeah, they did talk about it. And then, like, before they can really get into the emotional beats of it, Roxy's already made her decision. That's kind of the end of it. Because that's very much who Roxy's been.
Aron must be making his move.
And then, you know,
there's no power.
There's not going to be any more conversation right now, because now is the time for punching.
Hospitals, trains, any flights in the air.
The god of death is coming to collect, and he's going to use the people around us to feed his power.
Yeah.
Unless we stop him.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
Genesis! No!
I was so excited to get to do that.
So good too.
Yeah, I was.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. You guys gotta tune in.
Yeah. So that's the end of episode 23. I know I kind of got really quiet at the end there, but it was like I know we're getting to the good part. Make sure that you let us know what you think. If you like the show, go check it out wherever you downloaded it, and please leave a review. Even if that's a couple of stars somewhere. You can reach Pendant Audio on Blue Sky. You can also find me over on Facebook if you already know me over there. And then also if you're on the Discord, please let us know what you thought of the episode. You're gonna have your faces rocked clear off next episode. And it's,
like, I don't know, get like a face shield.
It's a little bit longer than you'd expect. It's long.
Oh, it's Genesis Avalon finale time.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you know it's long. Is because it's the finale. So anyway, it's absolutely worth it. Thank you, everyone. Thank you to Pete Mylan, by the way, again, for being an absolute bamf this whole time. I didn't really get a chance to, like, really say it, but yeah, he did a phenomenal job, and we're gonna miss him for the last episode, but bye.
Bye.